Good morning. Let's start with prayer. God, we thank you that you see us in all of our mess. We thank you that you do not regard us as such, but that by the blood of your perfect Son, Jesus Christ, we are beautiful and radiant to you. We thank you that though our flesh is frail, you have redeemed it. You are making us new. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jimi Hendrix is one of the most talented guitar players to ever live. That kind of talent has to partially be raw skill and genetics, but he has fostered that by years of practice, the discipline to learn to strum and pick and even to rile up a crowd. It's not something you develop overnight. Rachel Ray credits her Italian and Cajun heritage with her passion for cooking, but it is through years of working in the restaurant industry, cooking meal after meal, that she first created her classic 30-minute meals. Her discipline and efforts to teach home cooks to make a simple meal for their family made her a household name. Michael Jordan could be argued to be the best overall athlete of our age. He is talented in almost every sport he touches and took a brief stint playing minor league baseball in between his basketball careers with the Chicago Bulls. It was his dedicated hours of practice that formed him to be top of his game. Practice and discipline can turn someone with desire and talent into someone who does amazing things and leaves a mark on the world. Our focus today will be on discipline, spiritual discipline. There are many good and necessary ways to be disciplined in your life, but we're going to focus on some of the things that the Bible says about spiritual discipline and how we can, as believers, grow more disciplined in our lives. Our text is going to be from 1 Timothy, so let's set this in context before we start. So much of Christian tradition believes that Paul the Apostle wrote two books to Timothy, called 1 and 2 Timothy, as instruction, encouragement, warning, and support to Timothy, who Paul considered to be his son in the faith. These letters include things like warning against false prophets, instructions on prayer, important qualities of leaders, the mystery of God, encouragement to take care of one another, and other sort of similar discussions. Paul and Timothy had traveled together, and Paul saw the need and importance of Timothy's theological and pastoral education. Timothy is described as having been brought up in faith by his very pious grandmother and mother, and they strengthened him and taught him for what he would do later for the new Christian faith. This also helps us put Paul's instructions in perspective, because if he has encouragement and instruction for Timothy, who was a seasoned believer even as one who is so young, then those encouragements can apply to any of us, no matter how long or short you have been a believer, or how strong or weak you may feel in your own faith. So let's read from 1 Timothy. We'll be in chapter 4, 6 through 10, and verses 15 and 16. And let's hear what instruction and encouragement we might gain as we think about the importance of our own spiritual discipline. If you put these instructions before the brothers and sisters, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with profane myths and old wives' tales. Train yourself in godliness, for while physical training is of some value, godliness is valuable in every way, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. The saying is true and worthy of full acceptance, for to this end we toil and struggle, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Put these things into practice. Devote yourselves to them so that all may see your progress. Pay close attention to yourself and your teaching. Continue in these things, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and your hearers. So the main focus of this passage could center around three different verbs: train, devote, continue. The instructions given to Timothy are about growing in godliness, developing a greater spirituality, and distancing oneself from that which is untrue, unstable, unsound. The encouragement, then, is to work hard in order to become more like God. Putting in effort on a regular basis is difficult, but the instruction to Timothy is very clear. What you do will be worth what you get in the end. So the first verb I want us to hear is the verb train from verse 7. To train is to do something repeatedly, to repeat yourself to the point that it becomes a memory for your body or your mind. The goal of training is to increase your ability in doing that thing, whatever that thing might be. There's almost this underlying goal of training to make your actions or your thoughts automatic. Training means committing yourself to the degree that very little can stop you. And if something manages to do so, you get back up and you try again. Training is long-term, consistent, and focused. The second verb we should highlight is the verb devote from verse 15. Devotion is often used in religious circles for the idea of a loving, dedicated focus. We talk about being devoted when it comes to a marital or partnered relationship, when it comes to your family or your friends, sometimes even when it comes to workplaces. We're devoted to sports teams, and we display our dedication with hats and shirts and bumper stickers that might say something like Chiefs Nation or Defend the Fort. And we're dedicated to animals, dutifully caring for our own pets, working hard to reunite those that have been separated from their owners. Devotion implies willingly given time and focus, rooted in love or appreciation for something. The third verb that should draw our attention is continue in verse 16. This verb seems like the easiest to define because to continue is just to do what you're doing without a defined end. And it's this lack of a defined end that makes it so significant in this passage. Paul is saying the training that you are already doing, the devotion that you already have, continue in it. Some of us might find this a little easier than others. You might be the type that orders the same thing at a restaurant every time you go, and you've had the same favorite movie since 1992. Continuing comes naturally to you. But some of us are built a little differently. You have a habit of moving from hobby to hobby, never wanting to grow bored. You listen to new musical artists, go to new restaurants, and you've mastered crocheting, tennis, Spanish, and making perfect pumpkin pie. But all of us have the power to continue, the dedication to stick things out and keep going. For those of us that find comfort in repetition, we can form daily habits of godliness. And for those of us whose strength is the ability to learn and accomplish, we can consistently be on the lookout for new ways to practice godliness. These methods both fulfill the instruction to continue. Let's also think about the words from Hebrews 12:11. Now, discipline always seems painful rather than pleasant at the time, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. This is another reminder that often the act of disciplining is a painful one, or at least it requires something of us. But the writer of Hebrews thinks that it's worth it because of the reward that it yields. What is given up, our time, our resources, our energy, our prejudices, is worth what we receive, the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Many of us have practiced something in our lives, whether it was sports or dance or art or music, whether you were a child or an adult, or maybe something specific in the trade or field that you work in. We can all see that truly committing to practice something means giving up things in order to get a long-term reward or enjoyment. Not every practice yields a direct and easy result, which is why we do not all play like Beethoven or Mozart or like Babe Ruth or Tom Brady. If that were the case, I would simply practice one day a week and I would play as well as Lexi does. But practice asks more than just occasional commitment. It requires time and discipline. So if practicing means discipline, the continuous choice to dedicate ourselves to something in order to develop a deeper, more fulfilled life of faith, then that brings us to the idea of spiritual disciplines. There are several sort of main fields of thought when it comes to spiritual disciplines, but I'm going to think specifically on Dallas Willard and Richard Foster, both of whom are theologians in a recent age. Each of these men created lists gathered from stories in the scripture, letters of Paul, and the stories of Jesus to make a list of spiritual disciplines, not intended to be comprehensive, but just a place to start for us to develop our own discipline and consider how to make that real in our lives. These disciplines can come often in one of two or three categories. You can frame them as disciplines of abstinence, where we deprive ourselves of something to make space for God, and disciplines of engagement, where we add things into our lives for the same goal. Or you can think of the disciplines as inward, dealing with a person's inner world, outward, dealing with how that inner world functions outside of oneself, and corporate, things we do with other people. But regardless, we can think about what these disciplines are and what they might mean for us. So the first discipline we're going to think of is meditation. Meditation is simply spending time in quiet to focus on a word, a phrase, or an image, to hold our minds open to whatever God might bring to us. We can meditate on a verse of scripture, an image of Jesus, or just a word of comfort for us. The goal of meditation is to bring greater awareness to ourselves and to what God is doing or saying to us. The next is prayer. Prayer is a conversation with God, something we talked about last week. And to make prayer a practice, believers can choose to pray for longer than they normally do, maybe practice praying with fewer words or using the words of someone else, maybe silently if that's not normally how you pray, or out loud if you usually pray in your mind. All of this is more important that we pray than how we pray, but there are so many different types of prayers that you can use to strengthen your own life of prayer. You can try speaking to God first thing in the morning and leaving it open-ended until the end of your day to allow you to simply continue that conversation the whole time you're awake. The next practice I'm thinking of is fasting. Fasting is the practice of substitution, substituting something you spend time doing in your everyday life with time with God. You can stop doing or remove something from your schedule and dedicate that time that you would have spent choosing to be in God's presence. This might be food, or watching television, or scrolling your social media, maybe drinking coffee, something else that you consider to be important or necessary. Another practice is study. Study consists of any time you spend studying the scriptures or theology and thinking about what God is and what that means. We study the scriptures first, of course, but sometimes having outside aids can help us study better. That might just be a study Bible with a few notes at the bottom, but it might also be a large reference text or even a non-theological work like a book of poetry. Whatever helps you think more clearly and regularly about God, that is the practice of study. Another discipline is simplicity. The spiritual discipline of simplicity might seem a bit unusual, but it requires making intentional choices to reduce both our physical stuff and also to help us live lives of contentment. This might be reducing the amount of things you buy in a week, with the hopes of being either more ethical or financially responsible. This might mean saying no to commitments or events that distract you from your priorities of faith and the church and your family. Often the discipline of simplicity is inward. It's about choosing to need less, to want less, to keep less, to do less in order to have time for God. More peace, more ability to give, more contentment. Another discipline is solitude. Solitude is a difficult discipline for us in modern America because not only is it hard to find time to be alone, but to orient ourselves to that aloneness with God is really difficult to manage. We don't always like the alone time that we get, but solitude gives us a chance to focus only on God and not be distracted by the things around us or the people that need us. Another discipline is submission. Submission is kind of a bad word in some Christian circles. So great is our desire to be free from the needs of other people, restrictions. But Ephesians tells us in chapter 5, verse 21, that we should submit to each other because of our reverence for Christ. Submission means allowing other people to have a word or an influence or a lead in things that you might disagree about. Submission is also about yielding to God's work as the one who is truly in charge. Another is service. Disciplining ourselves to the work of serving others is about making sure we are available and ready and supportive to whatever is going on. It also means not having an ego, but allowing ourselves to work wherever it is needed, with no regard for our status or our rights. Service means contributing as needs arise. We can think about the discipline of confession, about speaking our sins to each other, confessing both what we have done, but also what we want to do, who we want to be. Confession has not always been viewed favorably, I think, because there have been many who have tried to gatekeep confession. But having spiritual confidants who you confess to helps us grow spiritually. Another one is worship. Worship seems like it would be an easy box to tick, right? If you're here, you've already participated in worship. But to worship is to adopt a posture of life, a belief that anything and everything gives God glory, and we are simply recognizing that glory. We can worship with music, but we can also worship with art or poetry or in quiet spaces. In order to worship, we have to let go of so many things that we worry about and participate only in the glory of God. Another practice is guidance. Seeking guidance is related to our discussion on wisdom from a few weeks ago, focusing on what other people might have to say about our own life circumstance. It requires humility to take in suggestions someone else might have, and also a personal awareness of what the Holy Spirit might be revealing to us. All of it means not rushing into making any decisions, but giving space for communal discernment. The last one I want us to think about is celebration. Celebration is a great and crucial spiritual discipline. In many ways, the easiest expression of celebration was taken from us at the beginning of the COVID pandemic because we weren't able to gather in person together. But it just means being more creative and intentional about the ways that we celebrate. Sometimes we celebrate because we are rejoicing with someone else who is rejoicing. But sometimes we celebrate simply because we are alive. That is worth celebrating. And celebration is a spiritual discipline that we get to share together. So today I want us to hear Paul's exhortation to Timothy and to see it as an instruction and encouragement for us. Being a Christian does not require the daily practice of every one of these things. The only requirement for Christianity is choosing Jesus and living like him. But each of these disciplines are grown from people of great faith, and these are an opportunity for us to learn about how to grow in our own faith. We should see this text and instruction to train ourselves in godliness, to devote ourselves in hopeful discipline, and to continue in both of these things. My suggestion to you is not to be entirely exhausted by my list of disciplines, but to choose one that sounded enjoyable and to devote yourself to it. Whatever piqued your interest or sounded interesting, try to practice it this week. Maybe celebration appealed to you and you want to make a fuss over your Friday night dinner, inviting your neighbors or your friends, and lighting some candles, playing some music, just to celebrate being together. Maybe you crave a little solitude, and your work this week is to arrange some time sitting in your backyard or in a park or in a quiet room with your cell phone on silent and nobody else around. Whatever discipline you choose, do it with loving focus, asking God to reveal themselves to you and pull you closer to hope, to knowledge, to love. So if today's worship and words made you realize you want the hope and salvation that God offers, I hope you come forward and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you realize today that you've been willfully undisciplined and you have wandered from God, I hope you come forward in repentance and receive the prayers and encouragement of this church. If you want to make your membership in this spiritual community official, I hope you come down and be received and welcomed. Over the next year, we're going to be studying some of these disciplines in greater clarity, probably about once a month for the calendar year of 2022. So this was sort of a setup lesson for us to be able to be ready when the time comes. But I'm hopeful that as we choose to discipline ourselves to greater faith, that this community will grow, not just in community with one another, but in closeness to God. You've been listening to me, Pastor Kana Moore, at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to those local, national, and international missions, and they help keep these broadcasts free. If you would like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our website at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have any questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our website and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.